Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us on our Sunday morning Evan HaEzer Shiur. Baruch Hashem, we have reached a very exciting point. We're about to end the sugya of Mamzerus. It was an exciting run. We were learning Mamzerus for probably almost a month and a half. In the Siman Dalet of Evan HaEzer, the middle of Siman Dalet. And today, we're going to finish that discussion of Mamzerim and move on to some very exciting topics of what do you do when you have a person who you don't know if they're Jewish or not Jewish. Could you follow the rove of the city to determine a random person's identity? That's going to be later today. But last point that we have about Mamzerus is a fascinating shaila that actually relates to Pidyon HaBen. It's a shaila that I never, it has an aspect that I never knew about, and maybe you did, maybe didn't. If you didn't, I think you're going to find it very interesting. The Trumas Hadeshen, one of the later Rishonim, was asked a question. Now, again, with the Trumas Hadesh, we don't know if he asked his own questions. There's a question among the scholars if he made up his questions himself or they were asked to him. If he made up the questions himself, then we could learn not only from the answer, but from his question as well. Yossi, I would love to be able to see it. It just makes it easier for me to talk if I could see a face. So, the Trumas Hadesh asks the following question. Before we do this, I want to tell you one thing that you might not have known about Pidyon HaBen. It's going to be a Pidyon HaBen, Shaila. You'll see where we're going to go with it. But we know that if your mother or your father is a Kohen, let's say in my case, even though my eldest child is a Bechar, is a boy, my eldest child is a boy, but since my wife is a Bas Kohen, we did not have a Pidyon HaBen. Now, there is an exception to that. Let's say you have a Bas Kohen, as we'll see in a minute. If you have a Bas Kohen who has her first child, her Bechor, from a Gentile, even though the baby is fully Jewish, but since by her living, by her union with a Gentile, she ruined her status as far as Kahuna is concerned, she is not considered a Bas Kohen anymore, and the child that she has is Chayev in Pidyon HaBen. Let me say that again. If you have a Bas Kohen who lives with a Gentile and has a child, that child, even though the mother is a Bas Kohen, does need a Pidyon HaBen because she lost her Kahuna status. With that in mind, let's look at this fascinating Shaila. So ask the Trumas Hadesh in the following Shaila. Thank you, Chazan, for sponsoring the memory of your mother-in-law. We mentioned your name earlier. Bas Kohen Achas Pnuya Shelo Bichra. You have a single girl, a Jewish girl. Her last name is Kohen. You have, Tzipi Kohen. Tzipi Kohen. Not any Tzipi Kohen you might know about. Tzipi Kohen, who's a Pnuya, and she never had a child before. Vinis Abra Biznus. And she ends up, you know, she's pregnant. A single girl is pregnant. Vyolda Ben, and she has a child. And she says, Rabosa, you know who the father of this child is? You know who I became pregnant to? Miploni Yisrael Nisabarti. Yankel down the block is the father. And therefore, of course, Yankel has to do a Pidyon HaBen. That's what she claims. But Yankel says, V'hu, Yankel replies, Machishla, V'amar, what are you talking about? I would never do such a thing. I'm a good yeshiva bach. I would never do such a thing. V'hu, Machishla, V'amar, Shemin Achri Nisabra. You became pregnant to not to Yankel, but to Jack. You became pregnant to some Gentile. Okay. So what happens, the fast forward, 13 years, v'haben iskada v'haya ish, this young man never got a pidyon haben and he becomes an adult, chayev liftos es atzma ola, does he have to do pidyon haben? Now what's the shaila? There is an argument between the mother and the alleged father, who the father is. The mother claims that the Jew is the father, and therefore, according to the mother's claim, this boy needs a pidyon haben. But the alleged father claims it's not me, it's a guy. Now, if it's a guy, if the alleged father is believed that he's not really the father, but really the guy is the father, well, if the guy is the father, guess what happens? If the guy is the father, then she lost her Bas Kahuna status. I have to backtrack one point. I'm sorry. If she claims that I'm a Bas Kohen and the father is a Jew, so, of course, since she's a Bas Kohen, there's no Pidyon HaBen. But if the Jewish man who she alleges is the father says, no, I'm not the father, rather a goy is the father. If a goy is the father, then this girl, by Bas Kohen being with a Gentile, lost her Bas Kohen status. And therefore, she lost her Bas Kohen status. Her baby will need a Pidyon HaBen. Well, he knows it's not him, and he knows that she was going out with Jack down the block. He knows. He says, it's not from me, it's from a guy. Yeah, he was at the party. That's what he was at the party, and he remembers what happened at the party. Except for one thing. Except we have a concept which we'll address later. The Torah says Yakir, that a father is believed to determine whether his son is his own son or not. And if the Torah gives the belief to a father to say, this is my son or is not my son, then that's an emunah that the Torah grants the father. So we're going to have to balance your ha'ara in a moment. So let's see what the Chumash Hadesha says in this very interesting question where you have a dispute between this mother and this alleged father, who is the real father? And the nafkamina is going to be, will this kid have to do a Pidyon HaBen? By the way, Rabbi Osai, I'm doing a Pidyon HaBen for one of my students this week. One of my boys, he's a sophomore in college. He's probably 19 or 20 years old. And he's going to get his Pidyon HaBen this week. So these Pidyon HaBen shailas for, adults are real shailas. So if you want Chinese food, come Thursday to YU. You get some Chinese food. So says the Chumash Hadeshin, Yira de'eno chayv liftos es atzmo. This child does not have to be po to himself. Let's just think what that means. Does that mean that we're going to believe the mother that I was with a certain Jewish man, and therefore, since I'm a Bas Kohen, I don't have to he doesn't need a Pidyon HaBen? Let's see why. Even though, look what I underlined, this very big Chiddush and Hilchus Pidyon HaBen that I never knew about, and I suppose some of you might not have heard either. Bas Kohen, Shenis Abra Minachri, Hol Umichulelis Mikdushasa. We know that if a Bas Kohen would ever be with a guy, she would no longer be able to eat truma. Any Jewish girl who would be with a guy would no longer be able to marry a Kohen. Harehi Kizara. Once she's with a non-Jewish man, if it's true that she was with a non-Jewish man, she is like a Zara, a non-Kohen, non-Bas Kohen. V'chaya b'na b'chamish eslayim. And her child would be chayv in Pidyon HaBen. So if that's the case, then you'd think that if we would believe the alleged father in the accusation that she was with a guy, if we believe the alleged father that she was really with a guy, that the guy is the father of the baby, then there would be a chiyuv pidyon haben. Vim kein, nida didan. What is this Jew guy claiming? This Jew who was at the party says it wasn't me; it was the guy. Nida didan. Maybe we should believe this Jew when he says, I'm not the father, but rather Jack the guy is the father. You know why? Because we believe him in another aspect. We believe this Jew in the following. Is this baby going to Yarshin this man? This man is saying, it's not my baby. So the child's not going to Yarshin him. The child is not going to be able to, if the child was a Kohen, if the man was a Kohen, we wouldn't allow the child to be involved in Kavura. Relatives of the father, there won't be Chalitza Yibam without getting into that. So it sounds like we listen to the father. We listen to the alleged father. When he says, it's not mine, we listen to him. So if we listen to him, why don't we assume that it's a Nachri, who really is the real father? So here, the Chumash Hadeshin sits down in Yisod. Venira, the Beniva don didan de lo haisa ishto klal. We're talking about a case where it's a single girl, and we have a question mark about who the father is, who she was with. In this case, where they weren't husband and wife, pshita upshita de lav kol kamina, the mother does not have the strength, the power, lomer shalplonihu. In a case where a woman is single, she does not have the ne'emanus to say who the father is if he's going to deny it. Iisa kamana machisha. And if he denies it, then we will not consider this guy to be the father at all. A woman who's pregnant will not be believed to say who the father is. If it's not her husband, if the guy is going to deny it, if the mother, specifies who the father was, and this random guy says yes, I am. Okay, they both agree. Then we'll assume he's the father. But if he denies it, then he denied it. But you know what? So should we listen to her when she says that the man I was with was a Jew? We're not going to listen to her, but we're not going to listen to him either. Look here. When this Jew says, it wasn't me, it was Jack the guy, we're not listening to him either. All we believe somebody when he says it's not my child is that it's not his child. We won't listen to him to say that it is so-and-so's child. That's all you believe. To go so far as to say that he should be believed to tell us who the father is, that far we won't go. So what do we have? We have a very complicated case. She's saying that Yankel's the father. Are we going to believe her? No, because he's denying it. So Yankel's saying the guy is the father. Are we going to believe him? We're not going to believe him either. Why? If we're not believing her, we're not believing him, we're not believing anybody. We're believing him only in as much to say, I'm not the father. Why can't we believe him also to say who the father is? So says Rabbi Yoch, says the Truma Sadesh in the following. I mentioned before that there's this halacha, this Gzeres HaKosev in the Torah that says Yakir. Ki is ben habachor Yakir. That a father is granted the power by the Torah, is granted an emunus by the Torah to specify who is his son and who is not his son. Remember, if a husband and wife in a normal family situation, if the father of the family, if the father of the house says, this kid is not my son, then what is he? He's going to be a mamzer, right? Because if he has a wife and he has a family and one of the kids in the family is, he says, my wife gave birth to her, but I'm not the father, then that's basically making this, well, it's not his son, making this kid a mamzer. When do we, says the Trumas Hadashim, when does this din of Yakir apply? Rabbi Yochanan was the one who says that the father is the one who's believed to set the identity of his son. Mishund Rabbi Yochanan deneman al ben bein habanim. Now, wait one second. When does a father have a right to determine this, to tell us who his son is? That's only nire. Dehahu hemenusa lesa ella beben shenolad lo meishto. If you are married to your wife, and you say that this son is mine, is not mine, is so-and-so's, then maybe you're going to be believed. But how he had minasa Torah, she'akirenu l'acheh, you can identify this kid, who the kid is. Because it's your wife's child, and you could tell us it wasn't from you, it was from somebody else. It must be a mamzer, for example. However, in the case that we're speaking of, aval benidon didan, says the Trumas Hadeshen, where there's a random single girl, and she's alleging, right? Could you imagine if there's a single girl who becomes pregnant, right? It's very obviously going to be embarrassing to the family a little bit. So who do you think she's going to say is the father? She's probably going to pick, if she's going to lie, you know who she's going to pick? She's going to pick a really well-respected and really rich guy, Jewish guy in the neighborhood. Why? Because maybe she'll get some support from him. Maybe she'll get him to shut up for a lot of money. Maybe he'll give her a lot of money to be quiet and stop accusing her. So she might have reasons to say, oh, the father of this baby is, Mr. Rothschild next door. Yeah, once you have DNA, everything, all of these discussions, again, we discussed that DNA, Basins will probably not admit DNA into this, into the equation here. I don't know if Basins will do it in this case? I don't know. Again, that's just a question of policy. DNA is believable in Beis Din. It's just a question of, as a policy, Beis Din will want to use DNA. But again, if you use DNA, and DNA is, as it is indeed, accepted as halachic, as evidence. If DNA is accepted as evidence, which I think most people assume it is, and the Beis Din is willing to bring it into the case, and we could determine who the father is, then all these shilas are really moot points. Here we're just talking about her claim versus his claim, and we don't know the truth because we weren't there and we're not going to be using DNA. But you're right, nowadays with DNA, this shiloh could be a mute shiloh, except for the fact that Bate Din might not accept DNA for policy purposes. Yeah. That, did she become pregnant previously? That is correct. It's only, yeah, except here because she was a Bas Kohen. Oh, if she was a Bas Kohen, okay, there's a non-religious Bas Kohen. There are plenty of these. There are plenty of girls, last name is Kohen, and they're not religious, and they go to college on a secular college campus, and what happens, we all know what happens on a secular college campus. Right, Cindy Natsipi Kohen. So in that case, and she was Nischalel from being Kohen, a Bas Kohen, now she becomes Tzipi, she gets married, so she will have a Pidyon HaBen for her child. She has lost her kahuna status when she was in secular college. And now she is like a regular Bas Yisrael. And now as a regular Bas Yisrael, when she becomes pregnant for the first time and has a Bechor, she will have a regular din of a Bas Yisrael, even though her last name is Kohen, because she has lost her kahuna status. Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. If she says I was with a guy, why would she believe? Because you're saying after all, ain't the mes mas marasha. It really won't be mashpi on the Vlad. It's only a question. First, we're going to decide if the Vlad... That's not called bimashpi. That's just an outcome of what she's... Well, if she's single and she's pregnant, then... Oh, just a woman... I think I told you I had this Shaila. I think I told you months ago. Shaila had a student whose father was a Kohen, and the student became a Baal Tshuv in high school through NCSY, then he came to my shir. He got smicha, actually, Baruch Hashem. But he grew up as a Kohen, not religious. As he became more religious, he's a Kohen, he duchen, he got a Kohen, he got Rishon. And while he was in YU, he found out this halacha that if a Kohen marries a woman who had previously been with Goyim, then she has a din of a Zona, and this Kohen who married the Zona obviously is Nischalom in HaKahuna, and the child is a Chalal. And when he was 20 years old in college, he found out this halacha. He had a very candid conversation with his mother about her activities while she was in secular college before she married her father, and found out that his mother was indeed... promiscuous with Gentiles before, you know, her parents weren't even religious. His parents weren't religious neither in college nor after they got married. It was the boy who became Baal Tshuva when he was in high school and then came to my shir. So he found out that his mother had been promiscuous in college, and therefore his father, Mr. Kohen, is really a Chalal. It was his Chalal and Hakun, and therefore he is a Chalal. Now you're going to say, how could his mother be believed that she was with a guy? I know halacha l'maisa, we accepted the fact that she was with a guy. I don't know the parameters of Eina D'Meisa Mashma Rashi. If I say that I did an Aveira, is it just not going to be believed in any context, and is it going to be no nafkaminas from any of my testimony? Whenever I say I did an Aveira, you know, so if I'm, then we're never going to... Let me ask you a question, Mr. Bergman. Let's say I say on Shabbos I lit your house on fire. I'm Oda. Hado Azbaldin. But it was Shabbos. So you're going to say, I don't owe you a penny because you're not going to believe me that I lit the house. There was a fire in your house on Shabbos morning. Rechman Islam. And I say, I lit the fire. So you're going to say, okay, Rabbi Orly, you'd pay up. You lit a fire. You burnt my house down. Put that aside. I don't know the sugya of Eina D'Meisa Mashma Rashi sufficiently, but I hear your question. What's another Behuda Shaila? Right. 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 He's made this mother Chaticha di Surah for himself. He made the daughter Chaticha di Surah, but not for. I hear. Okay, fine. I hear that. So let's come back to our Shaila. Our Shaila is a case where you have a Bas Kohen who claims that she's pregnant from Yankel the Yid, and therefore there's no Pidyon HaBen. Yankel the Yid says, no, you're pregnant from Jack the Guy, and therefore you lost your kuna status, and therefore this kid will need a pidyon haben. We're saying maybe we should believe, we believe him to say it's not my kid, and if we believe him to say it's not my kid, maybe we should believe him to say that it's a guy, and therefore she lost her kuna status and there's a pidyon haben. Says Shema Sadesh, we're not going to go that far. We're not going to believe him that much. We'll believe him that it's not his kid, but no more. When will we believe somebody to identify his kid, if that it's his or not his? That's if he's part of a family, if there's a marriage. But in our case, says, look on the screen, on the highlighted piece. This Yankel, who she claims is the father, he's not related to this Pnuya. He says it's not my kid. Once he says it's not my kid, we're not going to believe him on anything else. He can't tell us who the father is. What nemanis does he have? He's not married to her. So therefore, concludes the Trumas Hadash of Vim Kain. Since this man, this Yankel Cohen, is not going to be believed to say who the father is, that the father's a guy, who is he to say that? Came into Ihu, this Yankel the Yid. Lo mehem and lo medmin achri kasi. Adibur, we're going to have to rely on her that she said, that the mother says that I was married to a Jew. And if she was married to a Jew, if I was married to a Jew, then we'll believe her that she was with a Jew, she became pregnant to a Jew. We'll listen to her that it was with a Jew, and therefore this baby will need, will not need a Pidyon HaBen, because she's a Bas Kohen. The Koshkin, and certainly more, when you have a little bit of a suffix, and we're dealing with the issue of, extracting the chamisha slime from this boy when he becomes a bar mitzvah. Kolshkin linyan hay slime. This lay lahaybra, this child when he becomes a bar mitzvah has a cheskes mamon on the money. Certainly, we're not going to be motzi the money from him to have to pay a pidyon haben. Muki oki mamon becheskes money becheskaso. And we'll assume that the father of this baby, at least for pidyon haben purposes, is indeed Yankel the Yid, is indeed a kasher, and therefore this woman will maintain her bas kahuna status. And there will not be a Pidyon HaBen. That was a very specific Shaila in Pidyon HaBen. But if we extrapolate that Shaila of Pidyon HaBen to the general rules that it sets for us, we come to the next line of the Shulchan Aruch, and now we're going to go to the Shulchan Aruch, our next line of Shulchan Aruch, which is Simen Dalet Se'if Chavtes. The Rama says the following. The Rama says, Paskins, when is a man believed to tell us who his kid is? Hoda av neman al bno, hainu b'mishu b'chezkas aviv. If there's a chazaka that he's the father, for example, kagon b'ishto nisuo, if he has a wife to whom he's married, with whom he's living, and he says that one of the children is not his, that's when we'll listen to the father. Aval paskins drama based on the Trumas Hadash that we learned together. Aval p'nuya she'omeres, zehu ben ploni, my baby, if there's a single girl who says, who identifies the father of my child is, v'hu omer, and he says, it's not me, shemi mamzer nisabra, the man says, it's not from me, it's from some guy, it's from not Jack the Goy, Jack the Mamzer. This alleged suitor, this Yankel, is not going to be believed to identify who the father is, neither as a Goy nor as a Mamzer. Ain't no name on the post, though. Vihi, in the mother, will be Ne'emen, it's a love, l'hachshira. So, in the same way we saw in the Trumas Hadeshen, that this alleged father, who is accused of being the father, is not going to be believed to say, oh, no, you became pregnant from a guy. He will equally not be believed to say, ah, you became pregnant from a mamzer, to make the kid a mamzer. We're not going to believe this alleged father, identify who the real father is, or we'll listen to him and say, if he says, it's not my baby, we'll believe you, it's not your baby. More than that, we will not listen to you. Even if you say, this is the Rama paskening the what? I'm sorry. The chiddush that we're learning here. No. This is the same exact halacha. We learned the Trumas Hadesh, which is the source for this Rama. Now we're learning the Shulchan Aruch. I gave you previously the background for the Shulchan Aruch based on this Trumas Hadesh, and the Rama is now paskening. So it's the same halacha. The Rama is just applying it. The Trumas Hadesh and Shaila was where the alleged father, Jack Yankel, said that the real father is a guy. And the Rama is applying it where Yankel says, oh, the real father is a mamzer. In both cases, this alleged father is not believed. We only believe a father who's to say, it's my baby or it's not my baby. Once he says it's not my baby, he can't go ahead and tell us whose baby it really is. And that's the halacha that is paskin. This Rama paskins that din of the Trumas Hadesh that we just learned. Okay, let's stop that halacha now. Let's jump to the next sif in Shulchan Aruch. The next sif in Shulchan Aruch is a little bit of a different take on all the discussions. Until now, we had very complicated, you know, she says one thing, he says another thing, but it's really something else. Complicated. What happens if you have a really simple question? There's a beautiful girl in the neighborhood, and guess what? She's a mamzeres. A guy walks into shul and says, Rabosai, please call me up to the Torah. You know what my name is? My name is Yankel the Mamzer. Call me up to the Torah. I'm a Mamzer. I want to marry this girl. She's a Mamzeres. Ooh, he claims he's a Mamzer. Usually people don't want to be Mamzer. Usually people don't want to, you know, broadcast the fact that they're Mamzer. But he's very interested in marrying this girl because she's a Mamzeres and he's very happy to marry her. So he says he's a Mamzer. Do we believe a guy who walks into shul and says that I'm a mamzer? We discussed the question a few months ago if a guy walks into shul and says I'm a kohen, and we don't know anything about the family. What if a guy walks into shul and says I'm a mamzer? He's not Mason Matzma Rasha, Dr. Marin, right? Because he's, if anything, making his mom a Rasha, not him. Might not even be a Rasha. Maybe his mother was attacked by, his mother was a married woman, and she was attacked by some other man. He's a mamzer. He didn't do anything wrong. He walks into shul and says I'm a mamzer. Are we going to believe him and let him marry mamzeres? Let's see what the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Next sif. This is Shulchan Aruch Siman Dalet, Sif Lamed. Ha'omer al atzmo shu mamzer. Listen to this. He gets the worst of both worlds. Ne'eman leser atzmo b'vas Yisrael. We're not going to let him marry a Jewish girl. Because why? Why? Because he made himself a chaticha. He made all Jewish girls chaticha di yisura for himself. On the other hand, could he now go ahead and marry this beautiful mamzeres that he wants to marry? No, va'aser b'mamzeres. We're not going to let him, just because he walks in and says I'm a mamzer, we're not going to let him marry a mamzeres. Ad sheyivada v'aday shu mamzer. Until we clarify that he indeed is a mamzer. And once we do, then, ubno kamahu. And then his child will also be a mamzer once we clarify. But watch this. Even when a guy walks in and says that he's a mamzer, and he's a grandfather. Let's say he's a grandfather. He's an old man. He's a 55-year-old man, 65-year-old man. He's not old, but he's a grandfather. So he walks into shul and says, I'm a mamzer. So does that mean that his children and grandchildren will be a mamzer? So if he would walk into shul and say, I'm a mamzer, and we'd believe him, that his child would also be a mamzer. But if he already has grandchildren, v'im yesh lo b'nei banim, oops, what did I just do? One second. V'im yesh lo b'nei banim, eino ne'aman lifsol el atzmo. If somebody says that he's a mamzer, we'll only believe him legabe himself, let's say to aser regular girls. We're not talking about being matir, being mekel, and allowing him to marry a mamzeres. Are we gonna, if somebody walks in and says, I'm a mamzer, are we gonna aser him to marry a regular Jewish girl? So he'll aser himself, and he'll aser his sons. But if he has grandchildren, we will only believe him legabe himself, and not to make his grandchildren mamzerim. Not sure what the difference between his son will become aser, and his grandchildren will not become aser. He doesn't have the right to aser his grandchildren. I'm not sure. Does anyone have a svara why somebody walks in and says, I'm a mamzer? Okay, you can't marry Bas Yisrael. Okay, understood. And nor could your sons marry Bas Yisrael, but your grandsons could. We won't believe you. We're not going to believe you at the expense of your grandchildren. So how can we do believe you at the expense of your children? I don't have a svara for that. You're right. That's right. So we'll believe the father to say, we'll believe a man to say, I'm a mamzer, to mess himself up, because he makes all of the Benos Yisrael Chaticha Disura. We'll believe a father to say his child is a mamzer. Why? Because, like Mr. Sajer said, because of Yakir, that a father has an emunah to define his child as the other mamzer, not a mamzer. But if a man has grandchildren, he wants to say he's a mamzer, go ahead, call yourself a mamzer. Call your children a mamzer. You have the right to do that. But you can't impact the status of your grandchildren. The Torah never gave you the right to declare them mamzerim. And when you, in second place, or when you make yourself a mamzer, you can't do it at somebody else's expense. Only chaticha disur on yourself. One more line, please, and then we'll take your point. And this, the way we just said it, is really how the Beis Shmuel explains this sif. Says the Beis Shmuel, when a man walks in and says that I'm a mamzer, it's not a din edus. It's not that we'll believe him, that to aser him b'bas Yisrael as an edus. It's not that he was meyer that he's a mamzer. Why? It's not because of edam and ismas rasha, because he's not making himself a rasha. Lamitor's edus to hel kol adam karavet zel atzmo. You can't be meyer about yourself. So the halacha is the mechanism of this halacha of asering yourself on a b'as Yisrael is not because of edus. You're puzzled to be made about yourself. Ela hatamhu, like we spoke out. Ela hatamhu, kol adam yachol asos la'atzmo kol b'nos Yisrael l'chaticha d'yisura. By him saying that he's a mamzer, he made all of the b'nos Yisrael in the world, the regular b'nos Yisrael, l'chaticha d'yisura for himself. You could do that. You could ask the things on yourself. Oh, wow. Now listen to this. The Beis Shmuel takes it one step further. If indeed you called yourself a mamzer, so you have the right to do that. Let's say you went ahead, the self-declared mamzer went ahead, and he was Ba'al Bas Kohen. So normally, a Bas Kohen who's with a mamzer, or Bas Kohen who's with a guy, she loses her kuhuna, her Bas Kohen status. She can't eat shuma anymore. And the kid will need a pidyon haben from now on. If he will now live with this Bas Kohen, will she lose her Bas Kohen status? No. Because he's only a mamzer for himself. He's only a mamzer to be believed legabi himself, klapi himself. This is a brilliant chap of the Beis Shmuel. Since the whole lomdus of him being believed to be a mamzer is only because of Shavya Anav Sheikhatich Surah, he doesn't have the capacity to mess the woman who he's with. Because legabe her, he does not have an emunah that he was a mamzer, so he will believe that he's a mamzer. But the person that he slept with will not be messed up by his claim of being a mamzer. And if she's a bas kohen, who if she was with a mamzer would lose her bas kohen status, if he's only a self-declared mamzer, who we don't know objectively, he's just a self-declared mamzer, he will not be able to make her lose her bas kohen status. Because that's not a koach that he has. He only has a koach to define himself as a mamzer. Because of Shavya, not anybody else. That's the end of this seif. That's the end of the shtickle Torah. And yes, somebody had a question. Go ahead. Was that Avi or? I don't think there's a difference. If I think the same way that I could define my son, my wife is pregnant, let's say, and I could say this pregnancy that my wife is being pregnant with, I'm not the father. This kid is a mamzer. I could do it whether he's whether my wife's pregnant with this fetus, or whether my kid is 3 years old, or my kid is 30 years old, or my kid is 60 years old. The day before I die, on my deathbed, I say, I have news for the family. This son who I've been treating as my son for the past, well, I'm scared to say I treated as my son. That was complicated. This gentle person who has been thought to be my son for the past 65 years, I'm 95. You thought when I was 30 I had a baby? He's not my son. I'm not his father. That's the Torah. That's what the Torah says. B'yom hanchilo es banav, ki es ben habechor yakir, b'yom hanchilo es banav. When a father is giving out his, distributing his estate before he dies, he identifies one of his sons as not being his. So it doesn't make a difference whether the baby who he identifies is a fetus or is a 60-year-old. The father has a right to identify at any point in the father's life the son's status as either a mamzer or not a mamzer. 1 second, Avi, finish Avi. Okay, Dr. Marin. Well, he's not a mamzer. He called himself a mamzer, so he's treated as a mamzer. What? Yes. He has a stat. He will be treated as a mamzer. Lehachmir. Only lehachmir. He will not be mutter b'mamzeres. Only lehachmir. Yes. And his son. That is correct. Right. I would not use the word that he has a chalos shame. I'll say that he has a hanhaga of a mamzer. His son has a hanhaga of a mamzer, and his grandson will not have to be noheg as a mamzer. I don't want to use the word chalos shame, because chalos shame sounds like it's essentially part of him, and it's not. It's only we treat him this way because he asked to be treated this way. Is a Kohen. I think so. Yeah, a guy walks into shul and says, "I'm a mamzer. My last name is Fred. You know, Frank Cohn." Whatever, Yankel Cohn walks into shul and says, "I'm Yankel Cohn, the mamzer." So, okay, so you're a mamzer, we'll treat you as a mamzer. Does he lose his kahuna? That means his father. If he's a mamzer, that means his father. No. Why should he become a chalal? Because his father, his biological father, who he claims, is a Kohen and was with an Ashes Ish. So since his father, who's a Kohen, was with an Ashes Ish, the father was Nischalo thereby, and then he's a Chalo, maybe he becomes a Chalo, maybe he's not, maybe he loses his Kuna also. Interesting. So we could add in Dr. Marin's parish, in Chidushe, whatever, Hagos, Dr. Marin, on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, we're going to add a line, and says, just as he's Noheg Mamzer, if he's a Kohen, he'll also be Noheg to not be a Kohen. I hear that. Okay. We are right. We don't believe in that much. Right. Right. Yes. Because of this special gift that the father grants, that the Torah grants to a father to identify his son and only his son. Let's say she's a non-religious girl and she didn't... let's just say Gioris. Let's say she's a Gioris, just to make life easier. Well, no. If they did an Isser, there would be other ways if they did something to Isser. But as a Gioris, it would be Beheter, and the grandson wouldn't be a Mamzer. That's correct. That is correct. Yep, that's right. That's right. We need to have a saw you at Sinai. Didn't see you at Sinai, right? All the didn't see you at Sinai. We need a dating app just for Gerim. That's correct. Okay, very good. Yes, Shikar. So we finished this Si'if. We're going to fly. We're Baruch Hashem now going to do our third Si'if. And this is no longer... We finished the Sugya of Mamzeres, Rabosai. We spent about almost 2 months learning Mamzeres. You are now going to receive a certificate of the Mamzeres certificate. I'm not calling anyone here a Mamzer, but you have a certificate. You have smicha in Mamzeres. I hereby give you smicha in Mamzeres. Okay, Baruch Hashem. But now we will go to other areas of Torah. There's a lot of Torah to learn, Baruch Hashem. We're going through it very slowly. And may you never need that smicha. Amen. Okay, so the next if, we'll just do this. I don't know if we'll finish it, is going to talk about, it's going to end up mentioning Mamzer, but that's not really the point, as you'll see. What happens with the random kid who's found on the doorstep of the rabbi of the shul? You know, if you ever notice in Far Rockaway and in certain neighborhoods, there are signs to what they call a safe haven. Like if you're pregnant and you want to drop off your baby somewhere and not know that, you know, just drop off your baby and never see your baby again. There's something called a safe haven certain populations that this sometimes is nogea, less, not so much our population, Baruch Hashem. So you see signs towards the hospital, safe haven. You could just drop off your baby here, you know, just drop them off. So we have a baby that we have no idea. A baby is found in a, you know, in a paper bag or it wrapped up in a blanket on the doorstep of a shul, as would sometimes happen. Reb Chaim Brisk was known that this would happen to him, that single girls who would become pregnant would leave their babies on the doorstep of Reb Chaim Brisk, and he would raise them as his children. And that's why the family says that Reb Chaim Brisk's godless was in his chesed. People, we know him as his lamdus and his Torah, but they say his ikar godless was not in his, was actually in his chesed. His chesed was even greater than his godless b'Torah, which just, I mean, we can't even begin to imagine what that, you know, the level of chesed that you know, I don't think we could comprehend that, because as far as lamdus, he is the beyond king of kings of lamdus, and to say that his chesed was even greater than that. So they used to drop off on Reb Chaim Brisk. Can you imagine that? Reb Chaim Brisk, you know, Mr. Chesed? It's funny. Okay, so that's the case. What's the status of this kid? We don't know anything about the father. We don't know anything about the mother. We talked about a shtuki. A shtuki was a case where we knew who the mother was, and we didn't have no idea who the father was. Now we're talking about an asufi. An asufi is somebody who just gathered in from, you know, just a baby in a paper bag, a baby wrapped up in a blanket, found somewhere in the city. That's what we're going to discuss. That's exactly what we're going to discuss. We have no idea who the baby is. No idea who the baby is. No idea who the mother is. No idea who the father is. It's just a baby. Or, for example, a little kid. I once saw, once on a plane, I saw a movie about this, about a kid who got separated from his parents as a very young child before he was able to, like, you know, identify where he comes from. And, you know, the city, the government was just left with a little kid, a 3-year-old kid, a 4-year-old kid, and had no idea who the parents were. And, you know, couldn't return him to anyone. So a kid's lost in Disney World, and no one claims him. And the kid's too young to say what his name is or where he's from, or he doesn't know his parents' phone number. And, okay, so Mr. Disney World now has a little boy on their hand. So is he Jewish? Is he not Jewish? Is he a Mamzer? Is he not a Mamzer? You're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save this boy if he's sick. Are you allowed to, do you have to give him tzedakah from the community fund? Do you have to feed him kosher food? Could you feed him tray food? Do you have to send him to yeshiva? You don't have to send him to yeshiva? Let's see. Paskas of Shulchan Aruch. We're gonna go straight to the Shulchan Aruch. I'm not even gonna bring any sources. Straight to the Shulchan Aruch. This is the Shulchan Aruch, of course, is based on a Gemara. I believe in Ksuvis, Daf Tesvav and Aleph. But says the Shulchan Aruch the following: Sif Lamid Aleph, Simen Dalid, Sif Lamid Aleph. Asufi, again, Shenesaf Mehashuk. This random child. Let's assume right now it's a Jewish city. It's a shtetl. On the Nesaf Min Hashuk, have a Safik Mamzer. We're going to have to assume this baby's a Safik Mamzer. I mean, you have to realize there's a real little bit of a reason to assume why he's a Safik Mamzer. It's not just that, oh, you have no idea who the father is, let's just assume the worst, it's a Mamzer. You realize, why would a woman drop off the baby, you know, at the rabbi's doorstep, or at the shul's doorstep, or in the hospital? Because she doesn't want anyone to know, you know, that, you know, she doesn't want her father, her husband, to find out that, you know, there's some other man, that she was with somebody else. So there's reason, you know, to assume that she might, you know, this kid might be a mamzer. That's why the father doesn't want to take care of this baby. The father's angry enough that his wife was with somebody else. So the father's not going to take care of this. Right, that's what I'm saying. There's some reyes to this kid's identity. That's what I'm trying to say. Asufi shenesaf min hashuk, hevi safek mamzer. But that's only if Kagon she'ein ha'chacha shelo hushlach l'shem misa. That's if you could assume that he was left to die. The father doesn't want to take care of him. The mother knows that this baby is, is going to get her in big trouble. But if he's wrapped up nicely in a blanket, where it's clear that the mother wants to make sure that he lives, then it might not be a mamzer. It might just be that they can't afford the child. And that's why this child was given away. You hear the difference? If you would love to keep your child, but you can't afford it, so you're leaving it in the hospital, you're leaving it at the rabbi's doorstep, you'd take as good care of him as you can until you leave him at the doorstep. On the other hand, if this kid is not just a burden on you, but is a terrible stain on you, and your husband is angry about this kid even being born, and you feel terrible about this kid being born, you might have left, this mother might have left this kid to die. We hear stories about a kid who's left in a garbage can somewhere. So if he's left in a garbage can, then he has a dinner with Safik Mamzer. Aval, passes the Shulchan Aruch. Aval, yesh hochacha shelo hushlach l'shem misa. The Shulchan Aruch will say, we'll assume maybe he was, you know, just put, he was left somewhere in a safe place, and we'll see a bunch of indications that show that was cared for a little bit, but they had to leave him. Then we assume that it might just be they couldn't afford to raise him, but they were worried about, you know, starving. They didn't have food for him. Aval yim yesh hochacha shelo hushlach l'shem misa. They didn't want him to die. They didn't leave him in a dumpster. Bein sheyesh hochacha begufo kagon. There are different indications that could show that they really wanted him to live. They just can't care for him. Shehu mahol. He had already bris milah. Or she'evarav misukanim u'misharam k'mo she'os l'narim. They used to strain out the little babies. They used to straighten their backs to give them good pasture from a very young age. You see that they were tended to tenderly and carefully. Or they see that he's shehu mashuch b'shemen. The baby was, you know, soothed with oils to make his skin nice. O she'samalo k'chol be'enav. Fascinating, by the way, because if you know from when babies are born right now, the first thing that they do right when the babies come out is they actually do put an ointment in the eye. So if you see, my nephew just had a baby last week, and we saw the pictures, and you see the eyes have the, you know, the ointment on the eye of the newborn babies. So I don't know if that's what it's referring to here, but you see. Oh, I didn't know that. Thank you. So it prevents some kind of eye infections, if it could be. Okay. Oh, Tolulo Kamea. They see the baby's wearing a necklace, right? The baby has some kind of necklace, a bracelet or something on it. So that's an indication from the baby's body. From the presentation of the baby's body, that's an indication that the baby was cared for. The parents probably had to let go because they couldn't afford it. Let's say the baby, again, wasn't put in a dumpster, but was put like, you know, at Grand Central Station. Why would you leave a baby in Grand Central Station? Why not leave him in a dumpster in the back of some rundown building? You put the baby in Grand Central Station because you want somebody to take him in. Did he put him in a way that he could be caught but not hurt by any animals? Right, like I said, he lived the baby on the doorstep of the shul. In a place that's a safe place that hopefully people will pick up your baby. Then, when there's reason that the parents wanted this baby to live, they weren't angry at the like a mamzer, the mother feels bad that her baby was born. The father is certainly angry that this baby was born. I mean, the husband is certainly angry. But here, the baby was cared for, was loved. It must be what? Ein bo mishum asufi. Kevan shechoshesh shana lav l'shomru. You see that the parents, the father, the mother at least, wanted the baby to live. V'lo hushlach sham ela mishum ra'avon. This isn't a concept that we're so wealthy to be aware, to imagine that you would throw away a baby because you can't afford to feed it. I mean, nowadays we could identify like, you're not going to be able to pay tuition, so I'll throw the baby away. That's the closest that we could come. But the concept that a family would have to give up a baby or choose to give away a baby because they don't have food to feed it, and it will take away the food from the rest of the family, it's so beyond our ideas of wealth and of lifestyle. So the Shulchan Aruch, so you're talking about a case where we don't know who the father is. We don't know who the father is, or we do. So we don't even know. We don't know the mother nor the father, and the kid was cared for. So according to this Shulchan Aruch, if the kid was cared for, we assume that the kid was given up because the parents felt that they couldn't take care of him, and not because he's a mamzer. A mamzer is, if a woman's carrying a mamzer, she, again, the options of abortion weren't so readily available generations ago. A woman becomes pregnant to somebody other than her husband. She's terribly ashamed. She wants this baby not to exist. She has no choice. She made a mistake at the party, the other night, and she has to live with this shame and terrible fear of her husband's anger for the next few months. But the second she can get rid of it, she wants to get rid of this baby. She, once it's out of her, it's out of her. She'll leave it to die. Then with a chash of mamzerus. But if she cares for this baby, and she's just given up because she can't care for it either. Here the Shulchan Aruch is presenting a financial reason. You suggested because of psychiatric or psychological issues that the mother or the parents might have, and therefore they're not going to be able to attend to this child. That's why the child was put up for adoption or left at the rabbi's doorstep for the rabbi could adopt it, or the rabbi could find somebody to adopt them. That shows that we're not choshish from mamzerus. We just assume that the parents can't sufficiently care for this baby. So Ra'avon is just one example of a way that the parents are unable to care for this baby. Right now we're talking about an ishtetl. Next week we're going to talk about a mission in Machshirin, as you see on the bottom of the screen, on the Shulchan Aruch, talking about what happens in a city where there are Jews and not Jews, and we don't even know, we have to question whether the baby's Jewish. That's going to be next week. Now we're talking about an ishtetl. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch is telling you it depends on how you find the baby. Find the baby in a way that he was cared for, either based on how his body is presented or based on where you find this baby, that shows you that the parents cared for them. If you find the baby in a dumpster, which again, we hear on the news, baby was found in a dumpster. Some cries were heard in a dumpster, somebody goes to the dumpster and they find the baby in the dumpster. That's exactly the case of the Shulchan Aruch, where we will assume this kid will be a Suffolk Mamzer. That's why the mother had this baby, got rid of it as quickly as she could, and left him to die. Because it was a stain on her identity, and certainly her relationship with her husband. Okay, so we'll stop here, Be'ezus Hashem. Next week, we're going to talk about the...